Mark chapter 3, verse 22. What I want to do today is I'm going to lay out some things. There's a lot of scriptures today. I'm going to preach just a little bit long today. Is that okay? I know that many of you are fasting. You know, when you're fasting, that's a great time for a preacher to be able to preach a little long. But just kind of, I won't go too long, but just kind of looking at our church and where we are right now, I really wanted to get this message in us. It's probably better that I did it in 2 weeks, but just because of the revival and the nature of things going on, and because most of you are fasting, I know you can take a double dose today. Is that okay? And so we'll start in Mark. I'm going to stay in the New Testament. We're going to go to Mark and then John and then back to Luke and then over to Galatians. So have your Bibles ready. If you don't have them, you can follow me on the screen. But I'm really, really excited about today's message. Mark chapter 3. And of course, you read this in your daily Bible reading about, I think, about 10 days ago because you are doing your daily devotions. Am I right? You've got your bookmark. And that's what we've wanted to do here. See, you know, last weekend we talked out of Ruth 3:3 about, you know, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and then get your new garment. And that is the theme for this 21 days of prayer and fasting. Last week, the first week, washed ourselves. We just wanted to make the commitment to fast and to get into that habit of daily devotions, washing ourselves in the water of God's word. This week, I'm going to unpack what that is, anoint yourself, and what we're going to do for that. And then next week, we're going to get our new garments, man. We're going to come to those revival meetings. God is going to show up big time. Jesus is going to manifest himself. Miracles are going to happen. We're going to see breakthroughs like we've never seen, and we're going to get a new garment so God can do all of the new things that he wants to do in our lives. That's a good place to clap, because he's going to do it. Listen, I'm telling you, he's going to do it, man. I'm telling you, God is speaking to me and God is speaking to this church in these 21 days. And if you will lay hold of what God is doing, he will take you to a new place in him. Mark chapter 3, verse 22. So Jesus, you know, he's has all these multitudes following him. He's preaching, he's healing people. All these incredible things are going on. He's casting demons out of people. And in verse 22, it says, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of demons, he cast out demons. In other words, they said, okay, Jesus, they couldn't deny what Jesus was doing. So the only thing they could say is, look, we know this is supernatural. So obviously we're from God and you're not. So the only way that you could be casting out these demons is that you must have a big demon in you. And you're doing this, you're casting out demons by the power of Satan. Look what Jesus says in verse 23. He says, he called them to himself and he said to them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself, he is divided and he cannot stand, but has an end. No one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house. I want to talk to you for the next few minutes about getting more of God in our lives. And I've entitled this message, A House of Unity. A House of Unity, or A House United. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, God. I know that your word will not return void. And God, I thank you for what you're going to do in our midst. Speak through me today. Give us a hungry heart to hear your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. What Jesus is addressing here, he's addressing the subject of unity, that things cannot move forward unless there is unity. And he talks about here, he says, look, he says, you know, Satan can't cast out Satan. If Satan is going to move forward, even Satan has to have some sort of unity in his kingdom. And what Jesus likens, he begins to talk about unity and moving forward. He says, you know, a house, he takes that specific word, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Now, what do we know? That we are what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. And we know that if our house is divided, if our loyalties are divided, if our flesh, we know the flesh is at war with the spirit, but if that flesh is constantly winning, we will be a house divided and we won't be able to move forward in the purposes of God, Willie. Even in our own lives, if our house is divided, we won't be able to stand. I want you to think about your family. Your family is also a house. Jesus is saying for your family to move forward in the purposes of God, your family cannot be divided. If that house is divided, it will not stand. And I know what some of you are saying, well, you know, my spouse is not saved or we have these issues going on. Listen, you need to leave those things in God's hands. The first thing that you need to do is you need to get united with God. Make sure that your own house is united. And now God can work to unite your family house. We know it's that way in the church and in the kingdom of God, that this church, we must be a house united. If we're a house divided, we cannot stand. That's why God is so big on authority and people understanding the vision of that particular local church and how God has gifted that church uniquely and your calling and your place in this church. I want to let you know, when you plug into small groups, when you get involved in a serving team, when you go on an outreach, you are helping us become a house united. A house divided cannot stand. And divided just doesn't mean that you're against what we're doing. But divided, you don't help us unite if you're just doing nothing. Just elbow the person next to you and say, is he talking to you? So here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, look, he's teaching us this lesson here. Look, if things are divided, they're not going to work. If you're divided, if your own house, the temple of the Holy Spirit, if you're divided, things are not going to work. Your walk with God is not going to work like you want it to work. Your family is not going to work like you want it to work. The church won't work like God wants it to work. Are you following me? We must be a house united in ourselves, in our families, and in our church. But Jesus presents a problem. He says, but for that to happen, we know that we're born into sin. We know that we have a flesh that's inclined to sin. We know that our spirit is at war at our flesh. We know that we're in a fight to fight the good fight of faith. We know that temptation is all around us. So Jesus says, you know, so this is a real issue here. So how are you going to do that? And he says, well, what you have to do first is, you know, you've got to take care of the strong man. You've got to put a beat down on the strong man or the power that is in your life, in your family's life, or in your church that is trying to divide you from the purpose. And it's interesting. Jesus said, and he's strong. He's a strong man. That's the name. See, apart from Christ, only apart from Christ is the enemy strong. Only apart from Christ does the devil have power. That's why the Bible says, give no foothold or place to the devil. The devil only has the power that we give him. He who is born of God keeps himself, and the evil one can't touch him. So here's what Jesus says. First, you're going to have to beat that guy up. You're going to have to bind the strong man. Then you can get his goods, which we know are not goods. They bring us grief. You can get his goods out, and then a stronger person can reside in your house. Can I tell you this? Jesus is that stronger person. But Jesus is saying, if you want your life to stop being divided, your family to stop being divided, if you want to stop being a house divided, you've got to bind the devil. You've got to bind that strong man. And the only way to do that is to get a stronger person into your life. So you can't bind people. I used to hear people all the time. I grew up for a while. I was in this Pentecostal charismatic church, and people all the time, they're like, I bind the devil. Listen, man, you can't bind the devil in your own strength. It's Jesus who binds the devil. Jesus, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If you want to bind the devil, you're going to have to get more of the stronger one, Jesus Christ, into your life and let him take care of those enemies. There's nothing wrong with praying, you know, I bind the devil or whatever. All that's fine. But what I'm saying is, you've got to understand, okay, how does that actually happen? Or how does that work? In other words, Stovall, how can I really bind this strong man, get more of God in my life, and my houses come in to unity? I'm so glad that you asked. Go with me to John 14, the Gospel of John. So how do we really do that? How does that work? We don't just say, you know, we bind the strong man. How does that work? Let me just kind of give you just what's going on here in John chapter 14 and 15. The disciples are troubled because Jesus is leaving them, and they're not sure how everything is going to keep moving forward. You see, Jesus was the leader. He was doing, you know, all the teaching. He was doing all the miracles. I mean, the disciples constantly had security. Why? Because every time they messed up, Jesus was right there to fix their mess. So now Jesus begins to lay out, hey, I'm about to go away, you know, and so they're like, man, what's going on? You mean you're not going to be here? What are we going to do if we get in trouble? What are we going to do when we mess up? What do we, how, you know, all that they're concerned and they're worried and they're wondering, what are we going to do, Jesus? When we were in the storm, you were right there in the boat. You know, when people would attack us, you were right there to give them that word of wisdom and shut everybody up. You would do all the miracles. So they're worried and they're saying, okay, how do we do this when the strong man comes against us, Jesus? What are we going to do? And look what Jesus says here, two powerful scriptures. I'm going to read them to you. First in 14, chapter 1. I'm 14, verse 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or many abodes. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, man, that's not the right scripture. Okay, go with me to another scripture. John chapter 14, verse 12. That's a good scripture also, though. Write that one down. That's Jesus framing up, don't be troubled. You guys stop freaking out about all this stuff. I've thought of this. I know I'm leaving. I'm not going to leave you alone. He talks about how he's going to give him the Holy Spirit. And then in 14:12, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask my in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. And now look, flip over to John chapter 15, 7 and 8. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. How do we bind the strong man? How do we move forward in our lives? How do we get unity in our families? How do we get unified in the church? God, how do we get more of you in our lives? How do we do all this, God? Guess what? You ask. You ask God. In other words, you pray. This is what Jesus is saying. You don't need to be worried. You don't need to be troubled. You don't need to be freaked out. Listen, the Holy Spirit is coming. I've thought of all of this. This is all part of my Father's master plan. You don't have to worry about the strong man. Listen, the works I did, greater works than these you will do. Listen, you don't have to worry about being alone, because you're not alone, because the Holy Spirit's going to be with you. He's going to be in you. And all you have to do is, next time you get in a storm, remember when we were in the boat, guys? Next time people come against you, remember when the scribes were attacking me? Next time you have a problem and people are coming to you healing. Listen, all you got to do is the same things you've been doing to me. All you have to do is ask me. And he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified. See, through prayer, we ask God to do what we absolutely cannot do for ourselves, and that is bear fruit. That's what Jesus is saying. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. How many of you want to glorify God? Do you ever hear, I've heard preachers and they talk about, oh, the glory of God, and we want to glorify you, God, and they make it this mystical concept. And yes, the glory of God is huge and it's multifaceted and it's awesome and we can't understand it. But I like how Jesus does. He unpacks it down to the lowest level and he says, you want to glorify God? Let me tell you what glorifying God is in your everyday life. It is bearing fruit. And you cannot do that in yourself. You cannot do that with your own strength. The only way you're going to bind the strong man is you bear the fruit. You get the Holy Spirit in. You get the fruit of the Holy Spirit. He'll come in, put a whooping on that guy. Amen. He'll get the strong man's goods out of there. Bind the strong man, get out his goods, which are the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5. The Holy Spirit will come in your life. He'll bring you his goods, love, joy, peace, goodness, righteousness, patience, all those things. The strong man will be bound. God will be in. Your life will be unified. Your family will get unified. Your church will be unified. But you've got to bear fruit, and you can't bear fruit unless you pray, and you can't glorify God unless you bear fruit. So you can't glorify God unless you pray. Well, where do I start with prayer? Ask. You see the thing here, what Jesus is saying, just ask. We've made prayer so complicated. We've made it so heavy. Oh God, I gotta pray. And we worry about our words. And you know, we're like, okay, am I praying like, well, God, I just pray so-and-so be saved. Well, doesn't God already want them to be saved? And so maybe I should just pray that the Holy Spirit draw them. So I'll just pray for, listen, just pray. Just ask God. God save so-and-so. God convict so-and-so. Just pray. God, help me. Remember the woman at the well? John chapter 4. And Jesus comes and asks her of water. Ask her for a drink. Ask her for some water. And Jesus tells her, he said, you know, basically I'm summarizing it here. He said, if you knew who was asking you for water, you would have asked him for water. And he would give you a drink that doesn't run out. What Jesus is saying is, look, if you know me, you'll ask me. If you knew him, you would ask. If you knew how much God loves you, you would ask. If you knew how much God wanted to meet your need, you would ask. If you knew how much God wanted you free and fired up and full of joy and full of peace, you would ask. If you knew how powerful God was, you would ask. If you knew how in control God really was of your life, you would ask. Is there anybody in this house that will start asking God when they have a need? We've got to ask. This is where you get into Hebrews 4:16, where it says, man, we're going to come to the throne of grace with confidence. Some translations say boldness, so that we may obtain mercy and find help. How do I get help from God? Ask him for help, so that we may find help and mercy in the time of need. I believe it puts mercy in there. You know why? Because most of the time when we come to God, we're constantly thinking about our inadequacies, our sins, our shortcomings, why God won't answer our prayer. So God wants to remind you, You can come to his throne. There will always be mercy with whatever you request. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is our mercy. God doesn't relate to you according to your performance. He relates to you according to Jesus' performance on the cross over 2,000 years ago. You can come into the Holy of Holies because Jesus is a permanent mercy seat that cannot be removed. He is the mercy seat, man. He is mercy. When you know Christ, you know mercy, and so you'll ask. And that's what gives you that, I like to call it a God swagger. It's not a swagger in yourself. It's a confidence in God. It's a confidence that God's going to do what I can't do. That's what prayer is. Prayer is humbling ourselves and saying, God, why are we asking you, Jesus? Because we are confident in you and not ourselves. And when you get confident in Jesus, let me tell you something. You'll get some God swagger going on. I don't care how crazy my child's acting. Listen, my child is going to be a world changer. My child is going to glorify Jesus. I don't care how they're acting. Because I'm going to God. And I'm asking. I don't care what's going on in my business right now. You know why? Because I am praying. I'm asking God. I don't understand everything. I never will understand everything. I will never be able to connect all the dots in God's grand scheme. I will never be able to understand the mysteries of the universe. My mind is not capable. So what does God ask me to do? He asked me to worship him and he asked me to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So I go to God and I ask, and I have a boldness and a confidence and a God swagger that God is going to give me the help that I need. So we ask. Now just elbow your person next to you one more time. Don't hit them back. Where are you? What's wrong with you? Say ask. Ask. But let's unpack it a little further. But how? How do we ask? Flip over. I'm so glad you asked. Flip over to Luke. Go back over to Luke. Luke chapter 11. This is going to lead us to the same teaching that Jesus gave in Mark chapter 3. This is Luke's version of that same teaching here that he's going to get to in verse 14, that a house divided cannot stand. But look how it builds up to that. Look in Luke chapter 11. It says, now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place when he ceased that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Very, very interesting. The disciples never said, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to lead. You know what they said? Lord, teach us to pray. See, they saw that Jesus' power in his leadership, his teaching, and everything else in his life was connected to his prayer life. So it was easy for the disciples. They just got the common denominator of all these great things that Jesus was able to do. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Listen, there is so much on leadership in the body of Christ. There is so little on prayer in the body of Christ. I'm a big believer in leadership. We're big, but I'm telling you, without the foundation of a prayer life, your leadership won't have the eternal effect or the capacity that God wants it to have. So the first thing here is the priority of prayer. Let me just give you some things here about prayer, the priority of prayer. They'll put that up on the screen in a second. It'll go up there so you can write it down. Thank you. The priority of prayer. First thing, teach us to pray. First things first. The priority of prayer. In fact, put those photos up there right now. Let me show you these fishing. Show a couple of those fishing photos. This is me and Stovey. I can't remember year and a half ago, something like that. We're out in the Gulf of Mexico. Look at that shark we caught. Isn't that an awesome shark? I jumped in the water, wrestling with my bare hands. Okay, I didn't. In fact, I didn't even catch him. Somebody else on the boat caught him, but I was there. And Show another picture. Show another picture of me and Stove in there. Look. Look at me and Stoves, man. Big old red snappers. They're not outlawed in Louisiana. And we caught a bunch of red snapper. And you know what? I've got about like 25 photos that I could show y'all of this fishing trip. You can take it down now. Got tons of photos, all different fish, all kind of stuff. You want to know why I have so many photos? Because we took those photos when we were adrift at sea. The boat had run out of gas. And so for the kids not to panic and just to give us something to do, we started taking pictures of all, you know, I mean, just everything, every different type of fish, pose, everything like that. Because see, that morning we were so excited about going fishing and we had so much to do. It's a bunch of friends of mine. We had all our sons. It was this big father-son deal and we were so busy and so focused and everything was so crazy and getting all those kids in the boat and all the baits and the tackle. I mean, it's just insane. And then we go way offshore and we catch these fish and then the boat runs out of gas. You know why? Because we forgot to check if we had gas. We were so busy, the most important thing before you go 50 miles out in the Gulf of Mexico, the number one thing is to have gas. And that's a lot about how we look at prayer. It's like we got so much going on and we're so busy and we got all this stuff. Listen, prayer is your gas. People say, I'm too busy. You might also be too prissy to pray. You need to humble yourself. Yo, priss ball. People say, I'm too busy to pray. No. If you're so busy, you have to pray because prayer's the gas. If I was in your car and we were riding around Jacksonville and that gauge was below E and I said, man, we need to get some gas. You're like, oh man, we can't. I just got too many things to do. We're riding around in your car and I'm like, man, we're going to stall out here on the side of the road. We're going to be in trouble. No, I got too many errands to run. I would say, you are crazy. We're not going to make any of those errands. Or it's going to be late. It's going to be worse. That's exactly how prayer is. I got my kids. I'm too busy. And I'm too busy. No, you're too busy not to pray because prayer is the gas. And when you pray to God, when you give him that time, you create space in your own time. And we know that God is a filler and he will come in and fill that time and he will multiply it. When you pray, there's a scripture in Proverbs that talks about, you know, when you're trying to chop down a tree, you know, the first thought is, hey, I just need to swing harder. I need to give it more blows. But no, the proverb says, no, you need to sharpen the axe. See, that's what prayer is. It's the gas. It's the sharpener. Listen, you pray, you'll take that thing down with one swing. So prayer must be the priority. That's why we're so big on devotion and daily devotion here at Celebration Church, establishing that prayer time. I needed an hour to preach this message. I can't. We got a bunch of people about to come in here. So look, so he says the priority of prayer, and then here's the famous thing. I love this. When you pray, say, and Jesus just gives them a pattern here, an outline. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. I've unpacked this in other messages before. I'm not going to do it now, but it's just a great outline of glorifying God, bringing God's kingdom that comes through the Holy Spirit into our lives. Your will be done, our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Notice that you don't ask for forgiveness. That's about the fourth, until about the fourth thing. Why? Because you're already forgiven in Christ. You don't need to go before God and beat yourself up over the head and remind and tell God how bad you are. Listen, God loves you. He knows how bad you are. That's why he died for your badness on the cross. You give him you put your badness and your sins on Jesus. Jesus gave you his goodness and his righteousness, and you're justified in Christ. It is just as though you've never sinned. As he is, so are we in this world. You are justified. You are cleansed. You are pure. You are holy. You are son of God. You are daughter of God. You are a child of God. You come before his throne with boldness. You belong to him. He wants to hear from you. Where was I? Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom. So the second thing is, first is the priority of prayer. The second is the pattern of prayer. He just gives you a pattern. See how simple it is? We just complicate things, man. Now he gives the parable in verses 5-8 about the friend that comes at midnight and continues to knock and continues to ask for bread. And then in verse 9, he says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. Verse 10, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be open. The third thing is the persistence of prayer. See, you've got to get out of your own time zone, your own due date. Listen, you ask Jesus, he hears, but sometimes for God to bring the answer or the solution that he wants, listen, God doesn't do patch-up work. When God does a job, it is good and it is finished and it is lasting. So what's God saying? In your prayers, you have to be persistent. Don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Keep praying. Keep believing. And when you do that, you have the confidence. And that's why the Bible says that you can have joy and peace in believing, not in receiving. Oh, you'll rejoice when you receive that breakthrough. But you know what? You can have peace just in believing because you've asked Jesus. Whatever you ask, he's going to do. And you know that his answer is on the way and it's going to be better than what you thought. Come on, give him a hand for that. But this is where I want to get. Okay, so this is where I want to get. Watch this. How do we bind the strong man? And of course, we ask. And then the priority of prayer, the pattern of prayer, persistence of prayer. But here's the big thing. This is the big thing. So he says all this, and now he sets it up here in verse 13. And this verse is the trigger verse that leads into verse 14 through 22. Well, once again, he talks about a house divided, and you got to bind the strong man. Look at verse 13. We talked about asking, right? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? So Stovall, you're saying to ask, but what do I really ask for first? The first thing you ask for, the foundational thing that we ask for is not things from God, but we ask for God himself. This is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, how much more? He's outlined all these things on prayer. He's going to talk about binding the strong man. How do you do that? You ask for the one who is stronger. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. That stronger one to come into your life that day. And that is the prayer that the Father will always answer 100% of the time. He has never not answered that prayer. Why? Because it is only through the Holy Spirit that you can bear fruit. That's why it's called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot glorify God unless you bear fruit. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So every single time you ask for the Holy Spirit, whether you feel it, how you think you want to feel it, or anything like that, God will give you the Holy Spirit every single time. That's the priority or the principle of prayer. We ask primarily for God himself. God will give us everything else. But first we ask for those things that only God can give us. That is himself and that is his fruit. Now real quickly, and we'll wrap it up with this. Go to Galatians. Flip over to Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at the goods of the strong man. Okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Here's the strong man. Here's his goods. The works of the flesh are evident. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things, not those who fall in those things, not those who are overcome by temptations to these things, but those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That means they are unregenerate. It is their lifestyle. But watch, how many of you would agree that these things hurt you? Here's what Jesus is saying. Look, the enemy and his goods, which are the works of the flesh that are in there, the only way for those things to be bound and out of your life is you've got to get someone who is stronger on the inside of you that will cast him out and bring you a new kind of goods. How do we do that? We ask for the Holy Spirit. That's why the Apostle Paul said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. That word is an action verb, continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look at the Holy Spirit's goods. Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. I could also substitute have bound the strong man. Those who are Christ have bound the strong man. They've crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires, its bad works. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Here's what I believe. I believe that most things that Christians pray for, they don't even need to pray for. Because the answers to most of our prayers are just found in the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Bible says, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. He who is born of God keeps himself. How do you keep yourself? In the Spirit. And the evil one doesn't touch you. How many of you, could you imagine this? How many of you believe a lot of your problems would be solved? Not if you had your own love, but you had the love of Jesus operating in your life. You think that would take care of a few issues? Think that would take care of a few relational problems? That's a fruit. That's a byproduct of asking for the Holy Spirit. He fills you. He's stronger. He casts out the strong man. He gives you his goods. One of them is love. How many of you think maybe you wouldn't need to pray or be bothered about some things if you had self-control? Anybody ever gotten in trouble for a lack of self-control? Anybody ever gotten in trouble for an outburst of anger, said things you never wish you said? Anybody ever gotten in trouble being impatient, rushing into things? That's why you got to be persistence in prayer. See, part of the persistence is God working Christ in you. He's developing patience and character. So that's why the principle of prayer, the primary thing, what do we ask God for? We ask him for the Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's how we abide in Christ. Remember, Jesus says, if you abide in me, that's make my home. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want. I'll do it. But some of the things that we're asking for, we're asking amiss because we can't have them or operate in them because we don't have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. God knows until you get the fruit of the Holy Spirit operating in your life, even if this thing's happened, you would just be right back there again. I'm telling you, this is the biggest miss. One of the biggest misses that we've had in the body of Christ concerning prayer. And if you read about prayer everywhere in the Bible, this is the foundation. The first thing that you ask for is the Holy Spirit. And that's not I got baptized in the Holy Spirit one time. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about every day. Lord, today is the day of your salvation. Today, God, I ask you for the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And you do that devotion and you abide in Christ so that the fruit of the Spirit is manifest. Now you know how to pray. Now you're glorifying God. And now the things that you ask for in prayer, the Father will do it because he knows when he brings that to you, you won't mess it up because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is operating in your life. Can you give God a hand for that? I know I got to close. Okay, let me pray. Last thing I want to say This week, what this week is, remember, wash yourself last week, anoint yourself this week. This week is prayer week. We're having prayer meetings all over the church all week. Tonight, we even have, in Midtown and Orange Park, we have a night of worship. I'll be doing a shorter version of this message, but we're going to go into worship and we're going to do some prayer. Every day, the church is open 11 to 1. Could you, one, just once this week, I know some of your jobs don't allow it, could you make it to one of the prayer meetings here at church? Guys, listen, men, we have a prayer meeting on Monday night, tomorrow night. I want to remind you this scripture. Jesus says, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping. He said, could you not watch 1 hour? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Men, I'm asking you for tomorrow night, can you not fight in prayer for 1 hour? Will you fight for unity in your own life between you and God? Will you fight for unity in your family? Will you fight for unity in God's house? Because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And church, I'm asking you everywhere, in our devotional groups, our prayer meetings every week, can you just find 1 hour this week in a corporate prayer meeting to pray for a house united, your own house, that it be more united with God than ever this year. Your own family, your kids, that they be more united with God than ever this year. Your church, that we be united with God more than ever this year. And the only way that can happen is if we ask God in prayer. We're gonna ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit this year like never before. We're gonna bear fruit, we're gonna glorify God, and everything else that we pray for, our Heavenly Father's gonna do. Because we understand the priority of prayer, we understand the pattern of prayer, we understand persistence, and we understand the foundational principle of first asking for God Himself.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.